supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Inshallah, all of you are doing well. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio, which you are listening to. Today, we're going to speak about imamology.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliyin wa Husayn wa Hasan.
Today, Friday, is the 16th of Rajab, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Bahman, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 18th of February, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. This is chapter As-Sajda, verse 24 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ.
And we made from among them leaders, guiding by our command when they were patient, when they were certain of our signs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The appointment of divine leaders is among the rights of Allah. Certainty and patience with perseverance are two necessary conditions for leadership. A leader must have certainty in the aim, and he must have patience and perseverance until the last moment. Therefore, this verse points to the honors that the children of Israel obtain under the shade of perseverance and faith in order that it can be a lesson for others. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin. Today is special, and the stress on the meaning of Imam. The word Imam has very interesting meanings. It is so splendid and heartening that no other words such as teacher, patron, leader, preacher, and sermonizer has such a wide meaning as the word Imam has, as all these words cannot teaching and training but not carrying a movement. But an Imam is one who moves himself with his deed and makes others follow him. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, said, "When two groups of my followers go astray, the whole Ummah will go astray. And when they become virtuous and noble, they would influence all others, and then all will become noble and virtuous." The two groups referred to in this tradition are the rulers and the jurists. Hence, the importance of the conduct of a leader and its influencing force becomes quite evident. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the need for recognizing the infallible Imam. In the Islamic religion, we find that the post of Imamate reached Imam Ali alayhi salam, not simply on the day of Ghadir Khum, however, soon after the advent of the Islamic religion, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in many places and many contexts, indicated that his successor would be none but Imam Ali alayhi salam. Here it deserves mention that what took place on the 18th of Dhul Hijjah at the place Ghadir Khum, I mean a place between Mecca and Medina, it was just a public declaration or public announcement of the imamate of Imam Ali alayhi salam. However, it wasn't the only position, it wasn't the only situation or context. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had repeatedly indicated that his immediate successor would be none but Imam Ali alayhi salam. It's indicated in the discourses of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam that imamate is an integral part of Islamic of the Islamic religion. It's indicated that the infallible imams should be followed just in the way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was followed and is followed, was and is followed by all people, by all Muslims. At the same time, this is regarded as, I mean, this following the infallible imam is regarded as recognizing the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Certainly, this imam who should be followed up and who should be closely adhered to is an infallible imam. And this infallibility, that is the characteristic of being away or being away from committing any sin, whether major or minor, is a virtue endowed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unto certain specially selected people. And these certain specially selected people in the Islamic religion, they've been the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his daughter Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaiha, and the 12 infallible imams in whom we believe.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام.
All in all, in today's special IRIB English Radio.
The continuation of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Thank you very much. We're going to speak about the philosophy of the existence of the Imam. One of its philosophies is this. The Imam is the great intermediator for divine grace. Many of the scholars following the Islamic traditions compare the existence of the Prophet and the Imam in the human society, in the total world of creation, to the existence of a heart in the body of human being. We know that when the heart beats, blood is sent to all the parts of the body and it nurtures all of the cells. Because the pure Imam, in the form of a perfect human being and leader of human society, is the cause for the descent of divine favor or grace, and every individual to the extent of their being in such with the Prophet and the Imam can benefit from this grace or favor. And the Imam benefits from this very grace. It must be said that to the some extent that the existence of the heart is necessary, the existence of this intermediator for divine grace is also necessary for the activities of the world of humanity. The prophets and the imams have nothing of themselves to give to others, that whatever is given by Allah. But just like the heart is an intermediator for the transmission of divine grace to the body, the prophets and imams also are intermediators for divine grace for human beings in all groups.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim. إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ.
One of the conditions and special qualities of the Imam is overflowing with knowledge. The Imam, like a prophet, is a place of refuge of knowledge for the people. He must know all principles and practices of the religion. The external and internal meanings of the Quran, the traditions of the Prophet, and in complete way, be aware, because he is the preserver and guardian of the divine law as well as the leader and guide of the people. A person who, when a complicated issue is presented, either becomes conscious or asks another person for the answer, their knowledge and information will not answer. A person who, when a complicated issue is presented, either becomes conscious or asks another person for the answer, their knowledge and information will be answered the need of an Islamic society. They can never be given the position or station of imamate and leadership of the people. In conclusion, the Imam must be the most aware and most knowledgeable person in relation to the religion of Allah after the demise of the Holy Prophet, who does not allow Islam to deviate.
The massacre of the third Imam, Al-Husayn ibn Ali, at Karbala on the 10th day of Muharram, or Ashura, in the year 61 after Hijrah, or 680 of the Common Era, by an Umayyad army during the reign of the second Umayyad ruler, Yazid ibn Muawiyah. I think it may be firmly argued that the martyrdom of Imam Hussein is the single most important event in the history of Shiism. Of course, Professor Mahmoud Ayyub has written a seminal work entitled Redemptive Suffering in Islam, a study of the devotional aspects of Ashura in 12 Shiism, which he explores the place of Imam Hussein and his commemoration in Shiism. I've written an unpublished paper in which I argue that the place and role of Imam Hussein in the 12 Shiite worldview is unmatched by another figure within the tradition. Finally, the occultation or al-ghaybah of the 12th Imam, Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, known as al-Mahdi. A 12er Shiite belief holds the 12th Imam to have entered into a state of occultation or hiding at the age of 5 after the death of his father, the 11th Imam, al-Hasan al-Askari, in the year 260 after Hijrah, or 874 of the Common Era, in Samarra, in Iraq. This state of hiding would consist of two stages. The first is known as the minor occultation, or al-ghayb al-sughra, and lasted for approximately 70 years from the year 260 to 329 after Hijrah, or 874 to 941 of the Common Era. During this time, the 12th Imam was only accessible to the community through his four successive agents. The second stage began in 329 after Hijrah, or 941 of the Common Era, with the death of the fourth and final agent, and continues indefinitely. It is known as the major occultation, Al-Ghayb Al-Kubra. During this period, which continues until today, according to 12er Shiite thought, the belief is that the Imam is inaccessible to the masses, neither directly nor indirectly. This period will only end at some undefined point before the end of the world, when God will permit the 12th Imam to reappear and to establish peace and justice in the world along with Jesus as the Messiah. This doctrine of the occultation forms a very important aspect of 12er Shiite belief.
Time flies so fast. That is the end of this episode of today's special from IRB English Radio. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we rejoin you on another episode and another interesting topic. Till then, have a nice time.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Aliyul Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي لا إله إلا الله الله ربي محمد نبي علي إمامي لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and how about contemplating upon words of wisdom as taught to us by the barometer of faith, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him. How strange is this man! He becomes happy when he gains that which would never miss him, and becomes sad when he misses that which he would never catch. Had he thought, he would have realized that everything is planned and his earnings are predestined. He would have also sufficed with the available and would not have gone into the heart.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we are going to be looking at a very beautiful tradition which has been narrated from Imam Ali alayhi salam regarding the evil characteristic of showing off, which in Arabic we call Riya. This is one of those very evil characteristics, and it is one of the characteristics that can lead to other, you know, bad results, such as, for example, the canceling of our act of worship, which we might have performed with the intent of showing off. So this is a characteristic that we want to shun and forego and adopt in its place its opposite, which is sincerity with respect to God Almighty. Let's look at this beautiful tradition and read it for you here today. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, O Allah, so this is a dua and a prayer that Imam Ali is making in order to protect himself from riya. So not only is this a good hadith, it tells us about showing off and why it's bad, but also we can use this as a prayer if we feel within us the characteristic of showing off. We feel that we're showing off for people. We want to get rid of this characteristic. We can make this prayer. It can help us perhaps, you know, and can facilitate the elimination of this characteristic from us. Imam Ali says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from looking good in the gleaming mirror of people's eyes, whilst my inward self that I conceal from others be ugly in front of you. And from guarding myself against sin, only for show in front of people, whilst you know all there is to know about me, such that I may display my good side to people, leaving the bad deeds for you. Right. Somebody might say here that Imam Ali is an infallible, he's a perfect human being, he doesn't sin, he doesn't have any bad deeds, so what exactly is he doing? Right, so this is something, obviously a subject that should be discussed in theological discussions, right? But just we don't have time to enter into this discussion in depth. But we might say that a lot of different answers and responses have been given to this objection by our respectable scholars, one of which is that perhaps the imam, yes, it's true, he doesn't have any bad deeds, but he's making such prayers in order to teach us, fallible people, how to address God and how to repent, how to seek refuge in God from this evil vice of showing off. And this is one answer. Maybe other answers could also be given. So, of course, we'll forego that discussion for its own proper place. In continuation, the Imam says. So the Imam says, such that I may display my good side to people, leaving the bad deeds for you. In seeking nearness to mere servants of yours, and getting further and further away from your good pleasure. Right? So that when we show off, right, by doing a good deed, so not only is the bad deed that we, not only is the showing off canceling the good deed that we might have done, but also it's distancing us from God, it's distancing us and removing us from God's proximity. Further, we become further and further away from God, right? So it has this evil effect upon us. We ask refuge from God from this evil trait. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at showing off in the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Oh Lord, here I am pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
Iqra بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum.
So welcome back, dear Muslim brothers and sisters. Thanks for being with us. So we are going to practice Suratul Mulk, page 560 to Suratul Mulk, inshallah. So remember that the topic that we focus on is improving our reading, right? Our fluency. So we said, if you want to read the Quran Karim fluently without any mistake, yes? So first, you have to know the alphabet letters, the harakat, vowel letters, okay? Short vowel sounds, long vowel sounds, tashdeed, sukoon, fathatain, okay, kasratain, dhammatain, qalqala, these things, the things that we so far we had been practicing, yes, in this class and level 1 of reading the Quran Karim. So now it's time to go on the Quran and practice this. So now together all the ayah up to here.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا.
الذي
recite once. Me? One by one, yes. Okay.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليب
okay.
ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا.
أحسن من هل سي
الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا.
سائر الصلوات فور منها.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
That was great, yes?
Yes.
ليبلوكم was the most difficult word here, okay? But he did it well.
Okay,
so. طيب الله أنفاسكم يا شيخ.
Do you know what that means, actually?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Go on.
الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا.
أحسنوا عملا.
أحسنوا.
That was good.
أحسنوا عملا.
Yes. Okay, next part. وهو الغفور.
وهو الغفور.
وهو العزيز الغفور.
وهو العزيز الغفور.
Now it is easy for you, yes? Okay, we don't go, okay, we are going to fluently read, okay? We don't want to separate them, okay? So next ayah, Minha Hussein recite.
So we didn't.
It is the same as the previous ayah. Next
so
ayah,
we didn't read the whole entire ayah.
That's okay, because we paused. Go on. Yeah, yeah, the same ayah. The next ayah.
الذي خلق سبع سماوات تباكا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفعوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور.
أحسن. He has really improved.
Yeah.
In just one session. That's so nice. He's so smart. Really smart. Okay.
Not in math.
So, Mahdi.
الذي خلق سبعة سماوات. No, سبع سماوات.
Oh, join them. Join the sounds. الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا. طباقا ما ترى. Go on. الذي
ترى في خلق الذي.
Okay,
wait. Where are you pointing?
Separate the
sound. Move your hand.
Separate the sounds, no problem. خل
الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحيم.
اها, الف لام, الف لام, then after الف لام را, شمس, شمس.
Oh yeah, no, no. خلق خلق الرحمن. No.
خلق الرحمن. It means مخلوق الرحمن. It means the creature. The creatures of Allah.
Well, you know a lot of Arabic.
Good.
ين.
من. خلق الرحمن
من ين.
No, no, that...
Sure, there's no
noon. No, you skipped one line.
Oh, wait, yeah. Na...
Min...
Min tafawut.
You're okay.
Separate the sounds.
Tafawut. Tafawut?
Yes.
فارجع البصرة. البصرة هل ترى.
No, فارجع ال. When you connect that عين with لام, do not repeat ألف لام again. البصرة.
فارجع البصرة هل ترى من.
Separate the sound. فطور. Now read together.
فطور means breakfast. Oh,
yeah. Okay. فارجع البصرة. Read together.
فارجع البصرة. فارجع البصرة هل ترى من فطور.
أحسن. Again.
فارجع البصرة هل ترى فطور.
No. Read correctly and fluently. Be careful, okay? The speech should not be your criteria, okay? Speech should not be important for you the first time, okay? Reading correctly should be important for you, okay? Fluently. For example, I can read it this way.
فارجع
البصرة هل ترى من فطور. But it might be wrong, okay? You have to read it correctly and fluently.
قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح رأى تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور.
Right, Muhammad Yahya, read this ayah.
The whole entire thing.
الذي خلق سبع سماوات تباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور
احسن را has elevation sound yes
فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور
ترى
من فطور
احسن repeat after me now الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا
الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا
Why do you stop?
Because tanwin is there, yeah? Tanwin fatha, we said if you want to stop, tanwin fatha changes to alif, right? Minhal Hussein? Our brothers and sisters say we do not hear you.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, brothers and sisters.
Okay, this time you will recite louder, yes? So, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا
الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا
Elevation. Oh. Awesome letter.
Awesome.
Okay. Next one. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ
ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت
أحسن Be careful, okay? You have to pay attention to the long vowel sounds. I mean, alif maddi, waw maddi, ya maddi. Dagger alif, alif maqsura, these things, okay? For example, tafawut, no. Tafawut, dagger alif is there, right? Do you see a dagger alif on the top of fa? Small alif.
You. Oh, the sad one? You mean this one?
No, that is small alif. The yeah. baby alif.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's alif maddi. That's alif maddi.
The baby that has a big
That's alif maddi then. So, next part. فَارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ
فَارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ
So here I will tell you one very good an important point, okay? That is, if you want to improve your reading, okay, fluency, beside these rules, these things that I told you, you have to listen to a qari or a reciter as well, okay, Mehdi? So the reciter who recites slowly, not fast. Minshawi recites faster a little, okay? But Khalil al-Husari recites slower, okay?
And Mustafa...
He recites this way, Mustafa like us. Like, no. Look, he recites this way. ثُمَّ رُجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ
So what, we can also...
Slowly, yes?
Sir, but also...
He reads like...
So also we can do this. If like we can also read from Abdul Basit, but we can bring the speed low.
Yeah, you can do it. So it's but for learning, okay, fluent learning, okay. Khalil al-Husari is the first step, okay, that the teachers usually say, okay. The teachers usually recommend the students, okay. So after for example many days, many months, okay, that you practiced with Khalil al-Husari, then you can go and listen to Minshawi. All right, Siddiq Minshawi. So, you can start with Khalil al-Husari. He is reciting that the same as I recited, okay? This way, with this speed, not too much. Minshawi recite this way. ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير.
I like how you read سورة النور.
Okay, this way. He recites with a speed a little, okay?
I like how the Pastor. Majority reads
He's for step more. Two, I mean, okay?
Sir, but the most speed, the guy that reads...
No, in Tartil he recites this way. So, let's recite Surah Al-Kawthar together. Well, inshallah, we'll finish this session. Okay?
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Faster, okay, faster.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنا أعطيناك
الكوثر
faster
كوثر.
فصل لربك وانحر
فصل لربك وانحر
إن شانئك هو الأبتر
إن شانئك هو الأبتر
أبتر
Sir, you said لبتر
I said, oh,
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
اللهم
صل
على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Thank you so much. Thanks to IRIB English Radio
and Muhammad Yahya Jafari
International School Network. Mahdi Al Husseinan, Muhammad Yahya Jafari, Sayyid Muhammad Yahya Jafari, and Amin Al Hussein, and yeah, somehow me as well.
No, that's
Habibullah Fasizad. Thank you so much.
You.
God bless
especially
you, inshallah.
You.
See you, inshallah, in the next session. Our first learning how to read the Quran Kareem has ended, inshallah. We'll see you in our level 2 of learn how to read the Quran Kareem. There are some rules left, okay, inshallah, we will do it. Thank you so much. Recite a salawat.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International School.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents
Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint. A critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. A warm welcome to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, the host of this program, and my dear guest and guest speakers here in the studio again, Brother Hussein and Brother Sayyid Abdullah. Brother Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the studio.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thank you for having me.
Welcome, Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum. And welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum assalam. Glad to be here.
Welcome. Well, we promised our listeners and audience to continue criticizing the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006 with Tom Hanks playing in it. And we covered the very basics of the criticism of the movie, of course, not artistically, but rather content-wise. And we hope to continue that. Let's take a short break and listen to a part of the movie Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006, and we'll come back criticizing it.
Above the joint.
Fortunately, a dragon most easy to slay is wearing a cilice.
What?
Well, look.
Oh, inflicts pain so he can suffer as Christ suffered.
Oh.
Not so common these days.
Opus Dei. Remy, take care of this.
Back to the program. Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. And we are trying to criticize the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. It was, in fact, played by Tom Hanks, the major character in it. Brother Hussein, in a part of the movie you just listened to, in fact, there is this antagonist character, the priest, the albino, basically.
Silas, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he tortures himself. And in one of the scenes, he tortures himself and, you know, after saying, I chastise myself. Well, yep. In Latin, of course, you know. Why do some religious groups, well, in this movie in particular, Christian monks, self-torture? You know, we have self-flagellation in some of these sects. Some extremists, in fact, try to inflict torture upon their body. Why is it so?
First of all, I'd like to say that Silas was one of my favorite characters in this mm-hmm. movie. Paul Bettany is such a talented actor, honestly. Mm-hmm. He can play any role. So Silas, for example, he kind of represents, you know, one of those extremist sects that you were talking about. Of course, we have to know that sacrifice is a very important part of many religions, mm-hmm. not just, you know, Christianity, and it's not just part of extremism. We sacrifice things on a daily basis, you know, we sacrifice our rest or time or, you know, whatever it is, we sacrifice it. But of course, the purpose is the most important part. Mm-hmm. So in regards to religion, the religious people sometimes sacrifice things for, you know, a future benefit, or even, you know, even if they don't know when this is going to benefit them. For example, I think Silas was, you know, self-flagellating, like you were saying, and torturing himself.
Yes.
Because he believed that, like, you know, in the hereafter that, you know, he'd achieve what this sacrifice meant to.
Before asking another part of the movie, let's take a listen to a portion of this movie and then we'll be back.
Let's cover the talking points again, Your Eminence.
Many call Opus Dei a brainwashing cult. Others an ultra-conservative Christian secret society.
We are a simple Catholic church.
Simple? With a brand new $47 million headquarters in Manhattan.
Our followers are generous. Should we apologize for that?
Perhaps a less defensive tack, Your Eminence. The press continue to be harsh with us.
We are not cafeteria Catholics. We don't pick and choose which rules to follow. We follow doctrine rigorously.
Does doctrine necessarily include vows of chastity, tithing, and atonement for sins through self-flagellation and the cilice?
Many of our followers are married. Many of them have families. Only a small proportion choose to live ascetically in the cloisters of our residential halls. But we are all united in God's work around the world. Surely that is an admirable way to lead one's life.
Then why are some media referring to Opus Dei as God's mafia?
Obviously, some people fear what they don't understand.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. And we are talking about Da Vinci Code and trying to critique this movie, in fact, rather religiously speaking and content-wise. Well, Sayyid Abdullah, you know, why do some religions basically lend themselves easily to different branches and sects? We don't have one, for example, one and whole body of, for example, one religion, and then that's it. But they branch out to different, you know, sects and denominations altogether, and some of them, not to mention, very extremist, radical. I say that because of this part of the movie, that there is this interview about the Christian cult on the plane. It happens, if you notice. They are talking about this Christian cult, the secret society, and all together, and the rest of it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There are a few factors that causes religions to split and have too many sects and schools of thought.
Yes.
One of the main factors is time. With all religions, when the time period between the founder of the religion itself and the followers, when the gap increases and becomes bigger, and they obviously, you know, they are far away from their prophet, people start to interpret their own interpretation of religion. And then, you know, we have people who form their ideas and their ideology and theology.
Yes.
And they think this is what's correct. And what causes that is the time gap between them and their prophet. Because time constantly change.
Yes.
New issues arise. New affairs come to life.
Yes.
And how do you deal with it? Now, you don't have a prophet. You don't have a disciple or a saint from the prophet himself to tell you these things. So what you end up doing is coming up with your own ideas and theories. And obviously, you give it that religious
taste
or theme. And then you derive. Someone else looks at it and is like, no, you got it completely wrong. And he starts his own. And therefore, you see with all religions, it's pretty much the case. And not just religions, like with all, any
ideology.
Any ideology. The further it moves away from the time of creation, the time of finding or founding, it starts to, you know, separate. So I say the main factor is time. And obviously the followers themselves, sometimes when they don't stick to the text itself, that they also go sideways. So for whether it's Christianity, Judaism, or Islam, they all went through the same process.
Yes.
Or at a certain stage, they said, nah, I got to do something different. They derail. That's one factor. The other factor is the government of the time as well. Plays a major role. Now, with Christianity, obviously we had that issue. With the Romans and the Catholic, they had that issue. In Islam, we had the same issue. I'm not sure if Judaism had the same issue as well. But when the government sees that the religion becomes a threat to it, they try to create their own form of religion. And obviously, when they create their own form of religion, they will obviously also give it that taste, like you said, or that
they inject
theme as well.
Everything they want to, which is in their own favor.
Yeah, and they force it into people. And if so it happens by force and then becomes a norm. And then when new generations come, they take it as this is what it is.
Yes.
And then you have different factions. So these are.
But what about the traditions and narrations we have, for example, in Islam? Because you also said Islam went through the same process. So basically, there should be like, you know, they function as a kind of guideline for others when they follow them. The followers would find it pretty informative, not to, let's say, go astray, basically.
Well, that's a problem because, like, let's take Islam, for example. We have the Arabic language issue, right?
Yes.
So back in the day, the language was one thing. So you can read the hadith back in the day and you understand exactly what it says. Move on 100 years,
yes,
and that word has, like, 100 meanings.
Exactly.
Like that, for example, a simple text. The Prophet says, "Man kuntu mawla, fahada alin mawla." Mawla is master, right? And Arabs back then, they understood exactly what it is. They submitted to the fact. They shook hands with Amir al-Mu'minin. End of the story.
Yes.
You move in 50 years, 100 years, and mawla, all of a sudden,
becomes
has 20
friend
meanings.
Or something.
Yeah, it has a meaning, and the most common one is a friend. It doesn't mean master. So that obviously creates a problem. So whether it's time, whether it's language, so there are barriers that people create. And obviously, if you find a text yourself that's against you, you will have to, you are forced to give it a different meaning just so it does not collide with you.
Yes.
Or at least you push it away and say, well, that's not true.
Okay.
And so, for example, with Judaism, they used to write their own things. Like they said, okay, this is what the Torah says, we're going to write. And the Quran says...
Talmud is very famous.
Yes, so the Quran says they write it with their own hands. And, you know, so this happens.
Yes. Okay, thank you very much, Sayyid Abdullah. Let's take a listen to another portion of this movie, The Da Vinci Code, and we'll be back criticizing it.
Any ideas, Professor?
You could have just handed me a piece of a UFO from Area 51.
What's the next step? With him, it's always, Sophie, what's the next step? Puzzles, codes.
A treasure hunt.
To find his killer. Maybe there is something about this Priory of Sion.
I hope not. Any Priory story ends in bloodshed. They were butchered by the church. It all started over 1,000 years ago when a French king conquered the holy city of Jerusalem. This crusade, one of the most massive, sweeping in history, was actually orchestrated by a secret brotherhood, the Priory of Sion, and their military arm, the Knights Templar.
But the Templars were created to protect the Holy Land.
That was a cover to hide their true goal, according to this myth. Supposedly, the invasion was to find an artifact lost since the time of Christ. An artifact, it was said, the church would kill to possess.
Back to the program, the movie critique program on RIB English Radio. We're still analyzing and criticizing the movie The Da Vinci Code, produced in 2006. And I'm going to ask you, Brother Hossein, about a part where there is an emphasis. Of course, you can find it throughout this movie, The Da Vinci Code, you know, there is an emphasis and too much emphasis on, or lots of differences to codes and symbols, as it is carried by its title, The Da Vinci Code itself, right? So codes, symbols, in fact, appear and resurface on and on throughout the movie from the beginning, as Sayyid Abdullah was talking about, like those images that the symbologist professor, in fact, was trying to show to his students at a lecture at Harvard University. Well, so there is too much emphasis on that, first of all. Why? And are there codes in religion? Do religion need codes to transfer their messages? We know for one thing, like when I say transfer their messages, like to obviously to generations after the first generation, as Sayyid Abdullah was referring to in the other part of our episode. You know, when, for example, when it happens, like a lot of things or the meaning changes throughout time, like with one word, like Vali, when he was saying, or Mawla, for example, it may happen to other things too, right? And not only that, but also I just wanted to emphasize that when I say codes, for example, or symbols, we have the idea or the number of 3, which is very sacred. 4, 7, 40, 12,